Welcome to the Light Shine Church Sermon Podcast. I'm Organizing Pastor Rob Douglas, and I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly message.
Well, good morning, my friends. Good to be with you. Today, we are in the middle of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 15. We're going to read the story in a moment, but just to give you a little setup for it, this is a story about the first major conflict in the church. First and last conflict there ever was in the church. No, not really. Just kidding. This is a story that doesn't entirely come through that well in the English translation. It doesn't communicate just how big of a deal this was. This was a super heated, emotionally charged event. Major conflict here. But the cause of their conflict was actually something really wonderful. The problem was something that many churches wish they had today. The fact was tons and tons and tons of people were coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Even the Gentiles, those who were not Jewish. And this was a really big deal. The conflict was that they disagreed on whether or not these new Gentile converts should be circumcised. Yeah, this was a Jewish ritual. And up until this point, everyone was Jewish. Jesus, of course, was Jewish. All the disciples were Jewish. The entire early church was Jewish. What do we do with these non-Jewish believers, these new converts? They did not agree. Some said, definitely yes, they should absolutely be circumcised. Others said, no way, absolutely not. And I'm sure if the Gentiles were there, definitely would have had an opinion. But they were not there because this at this point was an entirely Jewish church family. So with that, let's read part of the story. This is Acts 15, verses 1 through 12. Certain individuals came down from Judea. I'm sure some would say certain troublemakers came down from Judea. And they were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. After Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to discuss the question with the apostles and the elders. Jerusalem was where the mother church was. So all the other communities of faith, they were like the small groups. You always went to Jerusalem if there was a big discussion or debate. That's where the mother church was. So they were sent on their way by the church, and as they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, they reported the conversion of the Gentiles and brought great joy to all the believers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and said, it's necessary for them to be circumcised, ordered to keep the law of Moses. The apostles and the elders, they met together to consider this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up, said to them, my brothers, you know that in the early days, God made a choice among you that I should be the one through whom the Gentiles would hear the message of the good news and become believers. And God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And in cleansing their hearts by faith, he has made no distinction between them and us. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing on the neck of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. The whole assembly kept silence, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they told of all the signs and wonders that God had done among them through the Gentiles. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, the story goes on from there, on and on and on. Actually, there was more intense discussion, more debate, more sharing about what God was doing. The early church here is trying to navigate the way forward. This was a brand new dilemma, a new problem. There was no history to lean back into, no wisdom to glean from the past. This was completely uncharted territory for them. Sort of like we're experiencing with this pandemic. None of us have ever lived through a pandemic before. None of us have lived on the other side of a pandemic. We don't really know what's coming. This is completely new for all of us. Right now, we're in a liminal space, right? It's kind of an in-between time. We're not in the height of the pandemic anymore. And we aren't completely on the other side of it either. And so we're starting to think about what's maybe to come on the other side. What will be the new normal? I think we're all pretty clear that we're not going back. Normal is not going to be like it was. Because we are different and everything's different, right? What we've lived through, how we've adapted and grown and changed. Maybe you're doing some reflection in your life on how things have changed for you. Maybe how you've grown in certain ways. Maybe adopted new habits. Or just how you see things or think about things maybe in a little bit different way than you did a year ago. This is a really good time for some reflection because kind of looking back and looking within can help us navigate the way forward, just like the early church. And like the early church, we discern our way forward seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit, which isn't easy. My experience is that God often gives me just one step at a time. I've never been given much more than that. No neon signs, no audible voices, no clear visions. Maybe it is for some, but not for me. Over the years, many people have asked me, well, how did you decide to become a pastor? And the truth is I never like decided. it was always just that I felt God leading me one step at a time. God led me to enroll at seminary. God led me to an internship at a church, which happened to be a really great church. God led me to apply for a particular position at a particular church. At each point along the way, I could only see and feel and sense God leading me to that particular step. Maybe that's not everyone's experience, but that has been mine. We might think of discerning the leading of the Holy Spirit as like driving a car at night. The headlights of a car allow you to see just enough ahead, right? Especially if you're driving somewhere where there's no street lights. You can't see anything, but you have enough vision to drive safely. Just enough to see a little bit ahead. Well, the early church here is together wrestling and discerning the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it's not easy, and it was not crystal clear. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible comes later on in this story. I think it's in, I think it's 16:28. And they say, so they made this decision and they write a letter, and the letter begins with, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." Which doesn't sound terribly confident, does it? It's pretty tentative. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And then they go on from there. that's all they had. There was a lot of discerning and tentativeness about what they had decided. There was no, this is, we are sure what God says. Not at all. I don't know about you, but this verse rings very true in my own life and in my experience of what it means to be a human, discerning the leading of God's will in our lives. We have to proceed with a lot of humility and a lot of faith, right? We might have it wrong. Well, in this story, the decision was that the church would not require Gentiles to be circumcised. You can only imagine the relief of the Gentile converts, right? The church, they made this decision because it became very clear to them that God was doing something big. And God was moving in ways they hadn't foreseen. And it was clearly the work of the Holy Spirit. It's been said that a better name for this book in the Bible should be not the Acts of the Apostles, but the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the life of the apostles. Because this book is story after story after story of the Holy Spirit moving in and among the lives of these early believers. The book starts in Jerusalem. Remember the mother church, it starts there in chapter one. And then at the very end of Acts, it's in Rome, which was for them the known ends of the earth, as they called it. It's a story about the expansion of the gospel, the Holy Spirit moving and reaching to different corners of the earth, moving through ordinary people like you and me. And of course, the story is left unfinished. It continues through our lives. The invitation is to see ourselves as part of this story, as part of God's bigger work, spreading the love of Christ. I was reminded of a story this week that I want to share with you. It's a true story. You might remember something that happened in 2015. You may remember hearing about Professor Larisha Hawkins. She was a tenured professor of political science at a Christian college in Illinois. She was and is a Christian, a devout evangelical Christian, actually. Well, in 2015, there was a lot of anti-Muslim rhetoric. You might remember, still is, but especially then. And so out of her grief about what was happening and out of her conviction that Jesus calls us to love our neighbors, she put on this hijab as an act of embodied solidarity with our Muslim neighbors, with Muslim women in particular, because Muslim women were targets of hate and violence, still are actually. But at this particular time, she really felt called by God to put on this hijab out of love for her neighbors and to be in the struggle with them, to say, we Christians, we care about you and we are in this together. Well, some Christians actually didn't like this. So much so that this tenured professor quite suddenly lost her job. And it made national news. I heard Dr. Hawkins speak just this week at a conference, and she shared this grueling experience that she lived through. There's also a very powerful movie about this, which you can look up, or I'll share it with you if you're interested. But I share this story with you because it's got me asking a lot of questions of myself. Like, how far am I willing to go to love my neighbors? What risks am I willing to take? How much am I willing to put myself out there? How much am I willing to listen and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in my own life so that I'm boldly and courageously loving my neighbors? I'm not sure, but I'm very clear that it's a choice. Dr. Hawkins did not have to put on this headscarf. but she chose to do so because she felt like God was leading her to do so out of an act of devotion to God and love for her neighbors. In the Bible, we read story after story after story of God leading people to step outside their comfort zone. And sometimes there are huge consequences, right? Just a few weeks ago, Rob preached about Stephen, who was stoned for his faith. We're in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul is sent to prison. And then, of course, Jesus, he was crucified. Sometimes there is a huge cost. But as Jesus said, it's when we lose our lives for his sake that we find our lives. In other words, it's when we're living for something, someone bigger than ourselves, it's then that we find a life worth living for. And that's what's happening here in Acts. This decision to invite the Gentiles in, to not require them to be circumcised, it was a death of the church as they knew it, a church that was only for Jews. But they were saying yes to God doing something new. We believe that the Holy Spirit is always among us. The question is, how much are we aware? And how much are we willing and desiring to be led by the Holy Spirit in our own lives? Something to ponder. Well, recently I heard a clinical psychologist say something that really has struck me. She said, our pause is our superpower. Our ability to pause before we do anything, before we act, before we speak, before we respond to another person, we have the capacity to pause. And there's a quote by Viktor Frankl, who's an Austrian neurologist and a whole bunch of other things, a super smart guy who actually Rob Douglas knows a little bit about. But anyways, Viktor Frankl said, between stimulus and response, there is a space. And in that space lies our power to choose. And in our choice lies our growth and our freedom. I don't know about you, but I find this to be so very true. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. There's an opportunity to pause. Well, most of us are familiar with what happens when we don't pause, right? Anyone ever speak too quickly, say something they regret? I have definitely done that, still do, all too often. What about rushing into a decision that after you made it, you thought, ooh, I wish I made a different choice? We all have, right? I don't know about you, but I am more impatient and more impulsive than I care to admit. The truth, and I have to work at this taking time to pause, to acknowledge the space. Taking the time to pause is a helpful way to think about avoiding making mistakes that we might later regret. Remembering to pause before we respond to someone who's asking something of us, pausing before we make a decision, pausing to take a deep breath when we're in a heated argument, before we respond to the other person, pausing to take a step back. As people of faith, pausing is an opportunity to pray and to remember who is with us, always helping us along our way. It's Jesus, of course. But he's not only our help, he's also our role model, right? In the Gospels, we read of him leaving the crowds of people, the people who needed him, who wanted him. He left his work of healing and loving them to get away to the hills, the mountains, to pause and to pray. Pausing from activity, from our work, whatever that is, might feel like something we can't do, or maybe we don't even want to do. Feels like a waste of time, perhaps. But we might think of this practice as like going to the gas station to fill up the car with gas. The car needs gas in order to function, in order to go forward. We need to rest in God's presence so we can be fueled up for our journey. In my own life, one of the things I have added during the pandemic is a meditation practice. It's been huge for me. For about 20 minutes every morning, I start my day on the floor. Before I check my email, before I've even had a cup of coffee, this is where I begin. And this prayer practice has become so grounding for me. It's a way of anchoring into the peace of Christ so that I have more of Christ's peace to give to the people around me. It's my way of practicing the pause. Well, what we're doing here right now on Sunday morning, this is a pause before we enter into the new week. We gather together to pause, to turn toward God together. It's this regular turning and returning to God. It's how we participate with God in opening up our hearts to be filled with Christ, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we live the lives that we're called to live. And so that we, like Dr. Hawkins, can boldly and courageously follow Christ's call to love our neighbors. Our pause, it is our superpower. It's our superpower because Jesus Christ is our superpower. And in him, we find all that we need to navigate our way through this life. Well, my friends, there's a sermon for you on Acts chapter 15, the big council, the big meeting at Jerusalem, where the church said yes. Yes, to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray that in our own lives that we do the same. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to jump into our discussion time. Got a couple questions for you on the screen. First, what jumped out to you in the sermon, and two, in your life right now, how might you incorporate more time to pause, to pray, to turn toward God in whatever way you do that? All right, well, reflect for 3 minutes, either on our own, with somebody else we're with, or feel free to put anything in the chat, and then we'll come back together.